Now would you please turn with me to 1 John chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 1 through chapter 2 and verse 2. The epistle of 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all our sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar. And His word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We have worked our way through verse 4, and today we pick up the message in chapter 1, verse 5, where the apostle is telling us that he is the spokesman for the apostolic band here, and he's talking about what the apostles have experienced concerning their relationship to Jesus Christ, who came, He was revealed, He was here. They saw Him, they heard Him, they touched Him, and they share life with Him. When he talks about fellowship, that's the sharing of life. And the Apostle John also has the purpose in writing this letter to point out some error of some people who are heretics who have actually left their company, who are in doctrinal error, and he wants to point that out. So in 1 John 5 through 2:2, he talks about the message they heard from the Lord, and this message establishes the proof of real fellowship with God. Now the apostles are making a claim, and they are saying, we have fellowship with the Father and the Son and, of course, the Holy Spirit. That's their claim. And they say, we have received the message from Christ. And the message we receive from Him, we're proclaiming to you. And he's saying here, we're not changing it. It didn't come from our logic or from our reasoning. This is not just a human message. This is a divine, supernatural message. And what we received, we're proclaiming. So we can have confidence this morning that what we are reading and the message we are getting from the Bible is a divine message. It's the message of God. And this is God's word through the apostles to us for this day in 1987. We are receiving the message they received. It's unchanged. Now, what is the substance of that message or the content? Verse 5, he says, this is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, it's very important that we gain an understanding of the biblical meaning of light and the biblical meaning of darkness, or this passage will really have no effect upon us, and we will not be able to interpret it correctly or apply it correctly. So let's work on that for a moment and attempt to gain that understanding of what the Bible means by darkness and light. Let's turn to a few passages of Scripture as we think of that. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. The same author writing this Gospel, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. He will talk about light. God is light. Jesus Christ is light. John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself, that is John, was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man who is coming into the world. So here we have an association of Christ and light. John chapter 8. And verse 12. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus is speaking to them, and he said this, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" So we're establishing a precise contrast between light and darkness. Associated with Christ, we are in the light. Apart from Him, we are in the darkness. Again, in the Gospel of John, chapter 12. And verse 44. John chapter 12, verse 44. Then Jesus cried out, "When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who has sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." There is a realm of light associated with God. There is a realm of darkness for those who live in unbelief. And as Paul writes about this in his personal testimony, he says that God said that He was to be a light to the Gentiles. And when we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says that light and darkness have no fellowship. They can't be together. They're different realms. Now let's look at one more passage, 1 Peter 2:9. And we read here, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. See, there is a difference. There's a different realm. There is a realm of darkness where unbelievers live. There is a realm of light where God's people who believe and trust in Christ live. Light is associated with salvation. Light is associated with fellowship with God. Light is associated with the kingdom of God, with the perfection of God. Light is associated with heaven. Well, darkness in Scripture means the opposite of that. Jesus said, "You'll be cast out into utter darkness, where there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth." That's hell. Hell is the kingdom of darkness. Satan is the ruler of the kingdom of darkness. Let's read another passage of Scripture in regard to that to see where we are in the contrast. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. You didn't know you were going to have a Bible drill this morning, did you? And get a little exercise. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. And this is we're picking it up in the middle of Paul's prayer, as he states it here in Colossians 1. And in verse 12, as a part of that prayer, he says, "Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light." What a message. We give thanks to God the Father, who qualifies us for heaven, who makes us right. We can't do that ourselves. God does that. He's qualified you to what? To share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us, or delivered us, from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, I hope you're catching along with what I'm believing and seeing here, that there is a kingdom of light and that there is a kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of light is associated with God and salvation and heaven and fellowship. The kingdom of darkness is associated with Satan and hell and evil. And this is going to help us as we move through the passage. Those who are in the kingdom of light have fellowship with God. And those who are in the kingdom of darkness have no fellowship with God. God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. No evil at all. And that's the basis for which John teaches us the rest of this passage. And he comes now to the first false claim. This is the message we've heard from Him and declare to you: God is light, in Him is no darkness at all. Verse 6, if we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk or live in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Now, why does John have to bring this up? Because in his day, there are already many people who were pretending, who were phonies, who were claiming to be Christian, but they were not. They were claiming to have fellowship with God, but they didn't live in the realm of light. And we see this all the time in our day. People who claim to be such spiritual giants, just wonderful Christians, but they're not even in the light. We see people doing this. A man comes and visits a church, and he's an extrovert. He talks to a lot of people and gives a loud testimony, and we think he's wonderful and grand, and we give him public exposure, and we make him a church officer, and in a few months, you don't see him. He's back living in immorality, being dishonest in business. And what has happened? Well, he has come among us and he has claimed to have fellowship with God. But indeed, he still lived in the realm of darkness. Here is the first false claim. If we claim to have fellowship with God and yet live in the darkness, we lie and we do not live in the truth. Now, John is coming at that error. And those people in his day who are making that claim, but they had already left and had already gone out from the group of people John was worshiping with, and they proved that they didn't really have fellowship with God. Now, what's the reality of this? The reality is, although they're claiming fellowship, they still live in the darkness. They still live in the kingdom of darkness. They are not really true believers. They are not living in the light. And this is in the realm of unbelief and of evil. Now, what is this? John says it's a lie. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet live in the darkness, it's a lie. It's a plain lie. Not even a believer, not a Christian. John uses this letter to bring some sharp, clear messages about truth and reality, to expose error, that which is unreal. This letter is sharply convicting. Reading 1 John is a very serious business. Don't take it lightly. This is very serious. Eternal destiny is at stake here. Be sure you're in the light. Don't claim to have fellowship if you're still living in darkness. There's a claim here, but the reality is it's a lie. And we're not living in the truth. Now John goes on to state then the first proof of real fellowship. He's talked about the first claim, which is false. To claim to have fellowship and yet live in darkness is a lie and not living in the truth. In verse 7, he will state to us the first proof of real fellowship. Verse 7, but if we walk, now substitute the word live for walk because that's what it means. If we live in the light as he is in the light, that is, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from every sin. The proof of real fellowship with God is to live in the light as he is in the light. Now, what does that mean? That means you're in the same kingdom. That means you have the same purposes, the same desires. You love what God loves. You have the same purpose in life. You've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son. There's a difference. It means that God has brought us into His grace, that God has brought us into His truth, and that the Holy Spirit lives within us, and we live in the light. And we walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, that being true, we do have fellowship with him. That's established. We have been reconciled to God. We have peace with God. We have access to the throne of grace. God has accepted us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and because he has brought us into the light, we have fellowship with him. The proof of that is living in the light. The second thing that John mentions that occurs as we live in the light is that the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us from all our sin. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all our sin. Now, what a great thing that is. What a great thing that God has graciously taken us out of the kingdom of Satan, out of the kingdom of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of light so that we have fellowship, and the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us from all our sin. What is the barrier to fellowship with God? The barrier is sin. As Adam was created in the Garden of Eden in a state of innocence, having neither done anything righteous nor sinful, he had fellowship with God. And then sin came and destroyed and disrupted that fellowship. And God, in his grace, made a way for us to be restored to fellowship with him. And what does that? Only the blood of Jesus, his Son, makes us right for fellowship with him. God gave his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't because we became good enough or our lifestyle changed that God brought us into the light or accepted us. It was because Christ made an adequate atonement to take away all our sin that we have fellowship with him and that we live in the light. And the issue here is a clear-cut issue of being either or. There's no middle ground here. We either have fellowship with God or we do not. We either have the salvation of the Lord or we do not. We are either in the kingdom of light or in the kingdom of darkness. This is serious business. Eternal destiny is at stake. Now, from what we have discovered in the Bible, can a believer live in darkness? No. The believer is established in the kingdom of light. And no one living in darkness can have fellowship with God. It doesn't matter how many churches you attend, if you're a church member, if you preach sermons, or you sing in the choir, or you read your Bible every day, or you go through all kinds of religious rigmarole. If God, by his grace, has not saved your soul and rescued you from the kingdom of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of light, you do not have fellowship with God. If we claim to have fellowship with him but live in darkness, it's a lie. Now, what can bring us into the kingdom of light? Why, only the blood of Jesus Christ. What can bring us into fellowship with God? The blood and the blood only. It is the blood of Jesus, his Son, who makes us right and continues to cleanse us from all our sin. It's not the blood and something else. It's not the blood and baptism. It's not the blood and communion. It's not the blood and my spiritual rituals. It's not anything plus. It's the blood of Jesus Christ only. That's why we sang those songs this morning, to associate it with verse 7. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That is true. We cannot bring ourselves into the kingdom of light, and we cannot keep ourselves in the kingdom of light. And this verse states here that the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse us and purify us from all our sin. All our sin. All our sin. And the only way to be relieved from the guilt of our sin and the impurity of our sin is to believe and trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. And you may be here this morning and say, Bill, I am a believer. And I believe I'm in the kingdom of light. But I'm not living a very good Christian life. So I'm shut out of fellowship with God. No, you're not. you will never personally be good enough for fellowship with God. You never will. The only reason you could qualify for fellowship with God is because of the blood of Jesus Christ purifies you from sin. So you see, we're all in the same boat here. The only thing that brings us into the kingdom of light is the blood of Christ. The only thing that keeps us in fellowship with God is the blood of Christ. John has talked about a false claim of fellowship. He's now established what is the first proof of real fellowship with God. What is it? Living in the light. It's being converted. It's being born again. It's trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all our sin. Now he'll come to a second false claim listed in verse 8. The second false claim is this. If we claim to be without sin or have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, here are people who are denying a sin nature. Denying that sin is real and present in the life and that we have been polluted and corrupted by our sin and that sin has permeated every area of our being and we are depraved. That we are transgressors, that we're full of iniquity, and our hearts are bent toward evil. Never say, I have no sin, because God says we have. If we claim to be without sin, what is the reality of that? We're deceiving ourselves. The truth is not in us. We do not have fellowship with God. We are not believers in God. We're not in the same kingdom of God if we're claiming innocence from sin or that we don't have a sin nature. It's deception. The truth is not in us. John states a third false claim in verse 10. In verse 10, we read, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him, that is God, we make God out to be a liar, and his word has no place in us. Now, what is this claim? This claim refers not as much to the sinful nature which permeates us as to the actual S-I-N-S, the actual outward sins that we do commit. And whether they are inner or outer, to claim that they're not there and not real is a denial of the truth. It's a refusal to acknowledge I sin. I commit sins, S-I-N-S. Now, what's the reality of that? The reality is that when we say that or make that claim, we make God out to be a liar. Now, how do we do that? Because we are contradicting God's word. The passage that Bill read this morning from Romans 3 declared that there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when God says one thing and I say another in contradiction, one of us is a liar. And what I am making him out to be is that he is the liar. And the second reality of that is that his word has no place in our lives. How more serious could you be? What more serious thought could cross our minds this morning? Three false claims. And John gives us the first proof of real fellowship in 1 John 7. Now he'll give us the second proof of real fellowship in verse 8. That is, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is the second proof of real fellowship. What is it? It is the confession of sin. if we confess our sins, if we acknowledge, yes, that God's Word is true, and it tells me who I am and what I am and what my behavior is, and I agree with that. Now, the word confess is made up of two words. The first part of the word means like. The second part of that word just means word. So what we have is a like word, or to say the same thing, or to be in agreement. So when I confess my sin, what I am actually doing is coming into agreement with God. Now, there's no better place to be than to be in agreement with God. Agreement with the Word of God, agreement with the truth, no lying, no deception, no funny stuff, no playing games. I admit and I confess in accordance with God's Word that I am sinner. Now, that is the second proof of real fellowship with God. What God says, I agree with. When you and I get in trouble, it's when we disagree with God. Now, let me put it to you this morning. Here we are, and we're before the legal bar of God. He is the great judge, and you are before Him. How will you plead? You better plead guilty. Because He has already stated it for us. You are guilty. And we need to make an honest confession of our sin before Him. The confession of our sin nature, the confession of our actual sins. Now, let me try to establish further what confession of sin really means. Confession of sin is not just saying words every time we commit a sin that we know about. Confession of sin is a continual attitude. A believer is never to live outside of confession. This is our attitude of life, and what it means is to never claim innocence. That's confession. That's real confession. That's the proof of fellowship with God. That's the proof of salvation. That's the proof that the Spirit of God has come and done a work of grace in our hearts. We never claim that we are innocent. Never, ever. That's real, true confession. Now, what's the reality of this? Verse 9 says that there's forgiveness. We are forgiven, and we are being purified from all unrighteousness. We have fellowship with God. We are in the light. We're in the truth, and we are with God. The proof of real fellowship is that we live in the light. We trust in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from our sin. We never claim innocence. We confess that we are wrong, that we are not as good as God. We don't deserve fellowship with Him. We don't deserve heaven. And we come to plead for mercy that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us from all our sin. Now, I want to take a moment to deal with a serious error regarding verse 9. That's the popular teaching about this verse. And it is this, that this passage applies to Christians. And I'm not doing that. I'm saying that those who make the false claim are not believers. A true believer will not claim to have fellowship with God while living in darkness. A true believer will not claim not to have a sin nature. A true believer will not claim that he does not sin. So this passage draws a clear line between the believer and the unbeliever. Now, verse 9 has been interpreted for the believer, for a Christian. And that when a Christian sins, that Christian or believer is put out of fellowship with God. That fellowship with God is broken. And that sin has broken that fellowship. But the confession of that sin will then bring forgiveness and restore fellowship, making confession the basis of forgiveness. Now, if that is true, how many times a day would you be in and out of fellowship? If every time you sinned, you were out of fellowship, you made a verbal confession, then you were brought back into fellowship, how many times a day would that occur? Every wrong thought, every bad attitude, every thought or act of selfishness, all the sins, how many times a day? Well, let's just see. How many say five? Ten. 100. There are more than we can number. This would be insanity. You would go insane in an attempt to keep books and keep a record that every time you sinned, you had then to verbally confess that sin and you would bounce in and out of fellowship with God. It cannot be. It cannot be. And I say to you this morning that as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, sin does not break fellowship with God. Sin does not take you out of your salvation or your fellowship or take you out of the light. What keeps you in fellowship? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. And chapter 2, verse 2. Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sin. He brings us into fellowship, He keeps us in fellowship, and He has made an adequate provision to cover our sin and make us righteous. Well, then you say, Bill, why do I feel so bad when I sin as a believer? What does sin do to us? How does it affect us? It affects us at the feeling level, at the loss of the enjoyment of the fellowship. It affects us in that we begin to lose our testimony. And when I am continuing in sin that is coming into my life, I lose the desire to talk about the Lord. I lose the desire for service. I don't really feel like praying. There is the hindrance of guilt, and I even close my Bible. Probably don't read the Word of God. Probably don't want to be around Christians. Probably don't want to come to church. So sin is serious. It affects our life, but it does not destroy fellowship with God. How do we keep, then, the joy of fellowship? Only through verse 7 of chapter 1 and verse 2 of chapter 2. It is again on the basis of trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ to purify us from sin and never claim innocence. Never lose confession of sin and trust God for cleansing and righteousness. Now, while I'm saying this passage shows a clear line between believer and unbeliever, and we have applied these false claims to unbeliever, is there no warning then in this passage for Christians? Yes, there is. There's warning here. And some things we need to think about because we need to ask this question. Can a Christian get into the state of pretending? You better believe we can. We do. The unbeliever here is claiming to have fellowship with God, yet walking in darkness. We are believers. We live in the light. We live in the truth. Yet we have not yet been perfected so that we are totally mature and we have become totally like Christ, and we can get into the rut of pretending. And we try to cover up. We deny. We become very defensive. If we're caught in sin, we try to defend ourselves and we try to make excuse. We hide. We really hide. We learn quickly how to wear the Christian mask. We learn how to say the right words to each other. And when someone comes to us before the church service and says, "How are you?" we say, "Fine, wonderful." When inside we're dying in a pile. And we're hurting so bad we can hardly be here. But will we admit that? No, we learn how to pretend, how to cover up. And somehow in the Christian life, we've been taught that you're always supposed to be on cloud nine, so spirit-filled that you're always smiling and you can put on this glow, and to ever admit a problem makes you less of a Christian. How terrible that is. So we don't admit problems to each other. That's hiding. This passage speaks against pretending. Pretending is a sin. We need to learn to be honest and admit what is true and not try to live a double life. There's a warning here for believers, but there is a promise here for believers from this passage. Again, it's verse 7, verse 9, and chapter 2, verse 2. We are established in fellowship with God. Nothing can break that. We look to the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all sin continually, to keep us in fellowship, and our trust in Christ continually makes us right with God. And admitting and confessing our sin just opens us up to each other to make us right with each other. And you see, once I do that before you, then I don't have to hide and pretend. And once I can say to you and look you in the eye and say to you, I am with you, I am sin. I have a potential for evil for any other human being has ever committed in the history of the world. I am capable of worse sin. I've probably done most of it already. I am sinner. I am continuing to sin. I'm not with you on that basis. I'm with you on the basis that my only hope is the grace of God and the truth of His Word, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from sin and makes me right with you. Now, once you know that, then I don't have to hide, because your expectation will not be that I walk in perfection or of any great spiritual giant. No, we are together here, and we have the promises of God's Word, and we can come clean and be honest with each other and be honest Christians and share life together and share our problems. And let's be careful not to be judgmental when people share problems or share sin, because we need to confess sin together and pray together and stay under the blood of the Lamb, which cleanses us from all our sin. What a wonderful passage of Scripture. If it helps you, say amen.
Amen.
I didn't hear it.
Amen.
All right, very good.